Hello, welcome back to Soul Sisters. I'm Dara Golub.
I'm Jessie Katz.
Hey, Jessie.
Hey.
We're so intimate today. I love it.
We are. We're talking into the same mic.
Sharing a mic.
I think this is the first time.
Special.
We can still have firsts after these, what, 2 years?
2 years. Our right? meeting anniversary is coming up.
Whoa, that's right.
Our very
and your
weird.
Birthday. That means it's almost your birthday time.
Exactly, that does mean that. And I feel like we've talked about this kind of enough on here, but we can go back to it, that it was the weirdest, best night, most magical night.
It was. Yeah. I was thinking about it the other day. I hadn't, like, thought about it in a while. I like to replay it in my mind sometimes.
That we met in Union Square for the first time and went, tried to get into Miss Lily's, I think. Or Lily's, not Miss Lily's, the amazing Caribbean restaurant. Not that. We went to Lily's Victorian bar in Union Square, and that was too crowded, and so we went into Tocqueville. I think it's Tocqueville,
yeah,
right?
Hotel lobby. and then the after party at coffee shop where I got mugged.
It was a great night.
Epic night. Here we are.
Inseparable ever since, and now we're sharing a microphone. Hello.
Oh, that makes me so happy. I wanted to talk about heavy things with you, and now I don't at all.
No.
I don't feel like talking about sexual harassment, so you know what? Not going to do it. Let's just pretend here in our little Soul Sisters bubble it doesn't exist.
Please and thank you. Let's talk about New York City and Shinobi Ninja.
Yeah.
I had been wanting to have Adara on the show for so long because Shinobi is a classic like New York band. I don't know if we've talked about this much. I'm reading the Lizzie Goodman Meet Me in the Bathroom book.
I haven't started it yet.
It's wonderful. And it just takes you back to 2001. So I'm still in like the 2001, 2002 time.
Do you feel nostalgia for that era? Because it
don't.
Feels very recent to me still.
Well, New York City music at that time, it was like a very specific thing. Or just like New York City at that time. And I wasn't here.
So right. Where were you then?
I was in college at BU. Where were you?
I was in college in Gambier, Ohio. No, that's not true. 2001?
2001, we just graduated.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
Whoa. Math. Yeah, I graduated college in 2004. So, right. Yes, I wasn't here yet.
Anyway. Right.
Continue.
So the New York isn't super nostalgic, but I'm it's fascinating, and I'm excited to get forward in time. But it's interesting to think about, like, what will our time be? How will we look at it? And Shinobi Ninja, we talked about this on the podcast. Their marketing and just like their colorful, extravagant, like really out there, really fantastic marketing strategy, really is what it is.
Like more people know their branding than know their music.
Right. I think that's probably true. And if that's a good thing or not a good thing, they're legendary.
Right. I mean, I guess then you get into their branding and then you discover their music is the idea. And that's probably worked for them, you know?
Absolutely. And so you go anywhere in New York City and anywhere in the country, any rock club, you'll see their
stickers.
Yeah. And I met them a long time ago and I've just like, they're the homies. So
yeah,
it was cool to have her.
And she's like the leader of this band of merrymakers.
She's the female, like, the only female energy. And it's like, and they're like rock band. Like, they party, they're dirty, I feel like. You know, they're just like the stereotype of like what it is to be in a van with a rock band touring. That's them.
Right.
And she's,
Yeah. And we talked to her about like the challenges of being part of that without having to like also become a mother to that situation because no one wants to be that either.
And it's also a fantastic show. Like, if you ever get the chance to see Shinobi Ninja, it is a really rockin' good time.
They're wild.
Yeah. All right, Adara Baby G from Shinobi Ninja
on Soul Sisters. Hey.
I'm excited.
What's going on, guys?
Adara.
Just chilling.
Yeah.
So
you guys
cool.
know each other, so I'm gonna let D steer the ship tonight.
All right.
Let's do it.
We were saying downstairs, I think the last time we saw each other was at South by Southwest.
South by
maybe
Southwest.
Maybe 2013.
13?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's been a minute.
What were the circumstances that you were both there?
Well, that year was a dual thing for me with Parlor Tricks and with Kosha Dills. Really Parlor Tricks and then Kosha. If I'm anywhere with Kosha Dills, he's going to recruit me to be a documentarian as well. So Kosha Dills is actually how we met in the first place.
Yes.
I started documenting him in 2011 in Baltimore. You probably didn't realize this, but it was Baltimore the first time I saw you. And so I guess Rock Hood had just come out.
That was a right? while back.
Your yeah. first record?
That's our first record, yeah.
First record. And the most, like, that's your big hit. That's your biggest hit, I would say.
It was, right? yeah, because it was on the video game NBA 2K12.
How did that happen?
I don't know. To this day, our manager at the time, and I think our drummer is the one that got that, like, hooked that up or...
somehow finagled yeah. your song onto him. So it's like when you boot it up, it plays your song?
Yeah, and everybody would, like... everybody knows it's like our sticker. Our sticker is like more famous than the band, and that song
that's
is like
how
more
I know you guys.
Exactly, that's what I wanted to say.
You're
yeah.
like on my mailbox outside of my apartment
in so Brooklyn or
yes,
the city?
In Bushwick. So I see it every day.
You're famous, especially in New York. You are definitely famous as a brand, if not also as a band. But really, your brand is like. Just larger than life because of this sticker. It's yes. everywhere.
Is their band their brand or their brand their band?
That's the eternal question. that's kind of a good question for you because
and
of
what's
how
the difference?
Much. Well, there's the music and then there's everything else that you right. guys create, which is so much. I kind of just want to shout out all of your stats, which are like 49 music videos. I added them up.
Wow. You're
Did
good.
You know that?
That's insane.
That is insane. So you've been a band for like,
for how many albums?
Yes, yeah, well, 6 years, 4 albums. Is it? I'm gonna talk for you, but you could yeah. jump in if I'm wrong.
I was gonna say, I was like, I hope she does because I don't even know. I was like, you're
so
just
these are
get
music
me.
Videos that aren't necessarily correlated
these
to
are
an album.
Official music videos, right?
Yeah.
Because then you have all these like behind the scenes stuff and fitness and fashion and
yeah.
and tour life and stuff like that. But as far as like official music videos. I counted up 49. You made, hold on, in like 2016 or in 2017, you made 5 already. And then like 2011 and 14, you made like,
that's crazy.
Like 15 videos or something crazy.
Yeah. Our newest album, we made a video for every song on the album.
Wow.
And so I always tell people, I'm like, when people meet, I'm like, here's our sticker and just pop some popcorn, go to YouTube and have a field day with your ninja videos. It's like, you'll be there for
it's
a while.
It's a full experience.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, I would also like to read something that was written about you guys, because this is to go to the sticker point, because I think it really sums up this extra awareness people have about the band that's not about the music. So The Outline wrote this about you guys, this website, The Outline. They said, have you ever been followed on Twitter by Brooklyn DIY rock band Shinobi Ninja? Have you ever been unfollowed by the account and then followed again? Has the series of events happened to you more than once, more than twice? Over and over again since 2009? If so, you're not alone. The band's mercurial social media habits have made it so that thousands of Twitter users, even if they have never heard its music, know the name Shinobi Ninja from somewhere.
That's how it's done.
Yeah.
This is very true.
How you do it.
This is very true. Some people, they will tell us, they'd be like, why did you unfollow us? I'm like, look, I have nothing to do with that. I'm just lead singer, like.
Well, there's a strategy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But are you saying the strategy is not yours or that you're not physically doing it?
I'm not doing it. I like I barely, when it comes to Twitter, it's like DA was asking me today, I was like looking at Instagram while I was waiting downstairs. He's like, "You don't like Twitter or Facebook. Why do you like Instagram so much?" I'm like, "Listen, Twitter is just too difficult for me. Like, I don't like that that thing is just like I don't even understand it. Like, honestly, I don't. Like, I may sound stupid, but I'm just looking at it and I'm just like I don't even know what's going on. Like, I'm like, who are half of these people? And I don't know what's being
okay.
said. Like, it's just a lot.
It's an ongoing conversation. Like, any conversation, if you just jump into it, you're going to need time to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's super fortunate that the rest of your bandmates are, if it's just one or more, but you don't have to worry about it because they are on top of it.
Oh, they are.
So that's nice. Yeah. So if you're saying, as your solo act or... you know, if you wanted to go off even further, because you're still kind of connected as a solo artist, you wouldn't be on the social media in the way that they are.
Not really. No. I try to, like, post things and stuff, but the majority of the time, I'm going to be honest, I'll be like, who cares? And I'm not saying that I don't care. I'll be like, really, does anybody care what I ate for breakfast or about this, my birthday meal? And I'm
they
like,
do, though.
I know. And that's the thing. It's like, I'm like, oh, I forgot. I had the most amazing meal today and I forgot to take a picture. I'm sorry, guys. I remember I wrote that one time and they were all like, I got so many good, like, it's okay. Just live your life. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I was just living. I wasn't thinking about taking a picture.
Yeah.
But the band is like, I'm my solo stuff and the band are just like, when it comes to social media, it's just like the opposite. It's like, we're just two different things. Like, we're just like, Shinobi Ninja is like up here. And Adara is just like right here, like like not even halfway. I'm just like, I gotta like catch up to them, like.
Yeah. Is there a culture of like pressure with like? Do they say like, hey, why didn't you post or like, why didn't you make a video for us today?
Yeah, like it's like, why don't you post a picture? It's like you haven't posted a picture in a month, and I'm like, wow, I'm glad that you know that because I didn't even know that. And then I'll think and I'll be like, I haven't posted a picture in a month. I'm like, okay, and so then I'll like try to like take a picture, and then DA will be like, there's all these amazing pictures of the band and you just want to take a picture of you smiling in the street. I'm like, because it's in the moment. Don't people want to see what's happening in the moment? Like, I don't know.
The rules are confusing.
Yeah, exactly.
But it seemed to work for you guys, or is working.
Yeah.
I mean, and I do think the stickers are like, at least in New York and having toured around and sort of making this documentary that I'm doing about like being a musician and being in the rock scene, going around the country and seeing your sticker in literally every place we went, every shitty dive bar, every venue, like any rock club that you go to anywhere in this country, you will see a Shinobi Ninja sticker. And in New York especially, it becomes sort of like this arty, like, why are they everywhere? Why is it so ubiquitous? And so it felt like these kind of like the footprints of like, this is what a rock band does. Like they go here, they go here, they go here. They play here all the time. And they're in the Lower East Side and they're in Bushwick and they're here.
But then it adds up to something that's more than a rock band.
Right.
It starts to feel like a movement. Right? Yeah. You're like, what
we are,
is
we are
this
like
kind
a mythology.
Of like a movement. Yeah.
We are. And those stickers are like, people want those stickers. It's like when you give somebody a sticker, they are super excited. And I get so many pictures from people and they'll send me a picture and they'll take a picture of the sticker. And I'm like, where, like, I just curious, like, where was that? Like, I had this girl say to me one time at my job, she's like, I didn't know, because I friended her on Instagram. She's like, I didn't know that you were in Shinobi Ninja. And I looked at her and she was like, literally like, and she's like, I have that sticker outside my apartment in Bushwick. And she's like, I never even knew that it was a band, let alone that you were in it. And then you friended me and I saw the sticker on your thing. And I was just like, she went in and I was just like, man, that sticker made my life. It made me more popular to her.
Yeah,
it made
like
me look
legendary.
Good. Yeah, it makes me, that sticker just makes me.
It's also the design. Like, what was the inception of that? Was it one of you guys that was like, guys, I have this amazing logo. We're going to make it a sticker.
DA. Yeah. It's like he took the colors. He always tells people he took the colors from Katy Perry, her album. It was like blue and pink.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like me personally, when it first, our very first stickers were black and red. And it wasn't like the color that we picked. It was because it was the cheapest like colors to make for the stickers.
Because
the blue and pink are more expensive. And he was like, and then all of a sudden, one day, he was like, blue and pink. And I was like, blue and pink. We're a rock band. And you want us to have blue and pink stickers. Like, I wasn't with it. Like, I was, like, over it. Like, I was over him. I'm like, I'm over the font. I'm just over this. And everybody fell in love with it. They fell in love with the name. They fell in love with the stickers. They fell in love with the Pac-Man font. It's like, everybody just loves
it. And now it's synonymous with you guys, the way that the whole look of everything.
Yeah.
So I'm curious then, there's so much stuff surrounding the music, and it's coming back to the brand versus band thing. How much, you know, all of that extra stuff is able to translate into something that either dollars or scenarios, situations that allow the band to be sustainable and, like, you know, make money. Like, I think you all have day jobs, or some of you have day jobs, and, you know, but you tour all the time.
Oh, yeah.
How much does all the social media and the YouTube videos and all
this
stuff
don't pay?
Right. But, or does some of it become monetized? Like, how much is this actually,
I mean,
helpful?
Like, we can monetize, like, we monetize, like, our YouTube views and stuff like that. And we figure out ways to monetize, like, other things. But,
like, you have some creative merch.
Yeah. Our merch game is, like, people can't, they can't touch our merch game. Every single time we go places, people will, even if they don't buy something from us, but the majority of the time people always buying things, they're always like, your merch table is amazing. It's like we got chapstick, we got lighters,
you have
sweatshirts,
you have
we
knuckles?
Used to have sneakers. Yes, we had knuckles, and we're getting sneakers again now for the 311 show.
Yeah, sneakers.
It's like, yeah, sneakers. Like they're that's like amazing. Look like Vans, yeah. But they're not Vans. They're just like some knockoff shoes. And this guy, Juice Man, he draws on them, and he does them in pink and blue. And people fell in love with them. At first, I was like, really? People are going to buy Shinobi Ninja sneakers? We sold out of the sneakers. People would come and be like, do you have size? And I'm like, we only got size 12. We only have these Converse left. Like, people love the sneakers. But we make money, like, when we do shows and stuff like that. Like, to make a living, like, off of, like, we would have to be on the road, like, 24/7. And it's just, like, what's the point of having an apartment? And, like, some people are just, like, have boyfriends and girlfriends and, you know, like, other things that they're doing. I mean, Shinobi Ninja is number one to us. But, yeah, some of us have day – like, I have a day job. Not all of us, but some of us have day jobs.
Did you used to tour more than you are now?
Oh, we used to tour way – like, back when we first started, I remember 1 year – so there's 365 days in a year. We did, like, 200-and-something shows 1 year.
Damn.
We – like, that was, like – like one of our first years, like we took any and every show that was offered to us.
Mm-hmm. And you're booking yourselves. You're like, I mean, the epitome of DIY, everything yourself. Do you have like a team now or a manager? It's all you.
Now
right?
We have a manager that we're in the works of signing with. We can just, he's our manager. And we're working on getting a booking agent. But we still do everything ourselves. Like, we have our own 15-passenger van. Like, we started off using U-Hauls. And then we were like, okay, that's a little expensive. So we just got a van and we got a trailer. Mm-hmm. And we were just like, we're going to do it. Then we're just like, let's just do it for real. Like, 100%. Like, let's just go out there and do it.
And you so booked all those, like, 200 shows?
All by ourselves, yeah. And we still book some things by ourselves, but then it came to the point where we were like, we had to live, and it was like, it was all fun, and we were young. Like, we've been doing it now for like 9 years, I think. And it was like, okay, now it's like, okay, we gotta make money. Like, we gotta, like, if I'm gonna
people
take off
married.
This day, yeah, exactly. It's like people getting married. It's like, we gotta, like, make money. And so we pick and choose the shows that we do now. We wish we can do all of them. Like, I wish, like, I would totally do all of them. Like, we wish that we can do all of them, but some people are just like, no, we're not. If we're not getting paid this much money, we're not going to do the shows.
Does that sort of feel like it's watering down in any way, like the Shinobi Ninja kind of like badass just hustle thing?
I mean,
like, is it a new era for Shinobi Ninja in that
sense? It's definitely a new era, but I think it allows us to do shows like the 311 shows that are coming up. Like, we're getting ready to open up for 311. We have three shows with them. And it allows us to do shows like that because I think that they see and they can see us in like, on a different level as opposed to being, like, that band that's still like, okay, well, we're going to go play, I can't think of Trash Bar, which doesn't even probably exist anymore. But it's like, okay, we're, like, past Trash Bar. But when we
does
first started, we would
anymore?
Play Trash
no,
Bar.
I guess not.
I think someone told me that it didn't, but it might.
I don't know.
But yeah, it's like, we're far from that now. We just played Brooklyn Bowl a couple of weeks ago or something. We opened up for HR from Bad Brains. That was a great show. So we're trying to get to that level.
Okay.
Like, this 311 is like where we want to be. We want to open up for big names.
Yeah.
We want to, like, so it's kind of like you have to, like, pull yourself back and be like, okay, well, I really want to do your showcase, but I really can't.
That's not where we want to be anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
How have you guys stayed so committed to the hustle over these years?
I don't know. We're hungry. Like, we're hungry. Like, we
but
just
how do you
want
keep
it.
That?
I don't know.
Is there one of you who, like, pushes the others through?
I think that's DA. DA is like he's like the one that will
working all the time. Yeah.
All the time.
He's
and he's
take
like,
a break.
He'll send us a group text of a tweet. He'll be like, look at so and so said this about us. And it's like, and it'll just keep us motivated to be like, what? And it's like, so and so just started following us. Like, we got verified on Twitter. It's like, and so it just, he keeps us motivated. Like, we all motivate each other, but if there had to be one, he's the one that's like, make sure that we all keep our head in the game and know what the end goal is because we've been doing it for so long.
Yeah, right.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
And being this sort of DIY, legendary DIY band, would being on a label be something that would be of interest to you? Or is it because
it would
like
ruin everything?
Right.
I know, right? Well, if we didn't have to change ourselves, that's one thing we don't want to change ourselves.
Right.
Like,
or be in less control.
Yeah. Like, if a label, it's like, it's hit or miss. It's like, you don't want to get signed to a label and then they look at you like, we don't know what to do with you, and then you're shelved. And then it's like, when you're with a label, it's like, you can't go off and do this show if it's not approved by a label. Mm-hmm. So being DIY is like, we could do that. Like, we could pick and choose the shows that we want to do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, with the label, it's like, they can get you to the next level, I feel like.
Right.
They can do something
right.
that you wouldn't be able to do yourself.
But hopefully get you to the next level as yourself.
Right. As yourself,
not a repackaged
yeah.
thing right. that looks like other things that are at that level.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's why we've been doing it so long by ourselves. Like, we've been approached and stuff, but it's never been anything that's been like, oh, this is the one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we remember one time, like, we worked with this producer and it was just like, we don't even sound anything like that song you're giving us. Like, that sounds great. And of course, some of the band members, we were at each other's neck, like, this guy, he's worked with so-and-so and so-and-so. And we're just like, who cares? But that sounds like he should bring it back to so-and-so. Like, that's not us. And then we meet some producers that obviously that are good. I mean, we produce our own stuff. But, yeah, we want to keep it real. We don't want to lose our fans that have been with us since day one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And have them be like, oh, they're sellouts. Like, they just sold out, like, to make it to the next step.
Right.
Like, and I think that's why people like love us a lot, and we have a lot of like genuine and committed fans, like, that are just like, they've been with us from the beginning, from the Rockhood days,
right.
Brooklyn to Babylon days, because they just know, they're like, how have you guys been doing it for so long and stay true to yourself? And we're like, because we're just staying true to ourselves. We're not letting anybody change us.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and we're doing it ourselves. It's like, sometimes you want it so bad that you're just like, okay, well, if this person says they're going to work with you, but you got to change this, you're ready to do that.
Right.
And we're like, no, like, we definitely are going to do this, and it's going to be Shinobi Ninja.
Do you run into many disagreements within the band? I mean, it seems like a democracy from the outside, not knowing how it works for you guys. But, like, with writing, I mean, just being in a 6-person band, coming to a consensus seems like it could be tricky at times. Like, how do the band dynamics work out?
There are a lot of dynamics. I'm like, we've been together, like I said, I think 9 years. I'm the worst when it comes to that. But we have, like, we've never broken up. We've never been, like, announced, like, the band is breaking up. Or we're like, the band is done. Like, we've been strong all this time. It's like,
Who writes?
We make it work. I write my own stuff. And lately I've been working with a writer on my solo stuff and on some other stuff that I did with Shinobi. But DA, he writes his own stuff. And then the band, when it comes to the music, like, we produce our own stuff. And it's like, it could be a collab. Maybe somebody will bring something to the table. And it'll start off with a small idea. And then everybody just throws in stuff. And then it becomes this one finished product of whatever the song is and stuff. But yeah,
he just came out with an album in March.
I think so. I think
this year,
March.
I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bless Up.
Bless Up, yeah.
Which, tell me if I'm wrong, it feels like there's a little bit more mellow tracks on it. Mellower for you guys. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Does that represent this kind of new chapter and sort of like getting older and being sort of in a different place in life, or is it the world, or like why would you say that is?
I don't know. I just think it was where we were at the time in the moment, like writing the music, like going through like not working with the manager that we first started off with, and just like being like working with the producers and being like, we don't want to do that. Like, this is what we want to do, with just being ourselves. And I don't know if it's really so much us growing. It's like it does have a lot of mellow tracks, and we would
relatively
we would realize that, because we'd be like, wait, we don't want to do this song on stage. It's like, it's way too, like, compared to our other songs. So we found ourselves, not for anything, going back to our old catalog and bringing like that, adding that with our new catalog
for the
live shows to spice it up. But it's good. It's like it's good. It just takes it to the next level. But I think also too, it's like people like would say, like, there's one song that we have on the Bless Up album called What If Times that everybody loves. And it's like, it's just really DA and I talking about like ourselves and that sides of ourselves that people didn't really know. And it's and when we perform it, I usually tell everybody, I was like, if you can give us a moment to get sensitive on you, you know, like some people think that we can be sensitive, and it really blows people's minds. It's like it blows their minds, because we're just like raw, like yeah, like going crazy, and then all of a sudden we're just like, like, wave your hands, put up the lighters. And it's just like, they're like, you guys made that song. We're like, yeah, we're very diverse, very eclectic. Like,
right.
You don't know where we're going to hit you with. And I think that's why, that's why people like us, because there's a little bit for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, people don't know what genre to put us in.
Absolutely.
Because we're just, our music is just like, just all over the place.
Yeah.
Which I love it.
I mean, the trick to that is, it can make it a little bit harder for people to find you.
This is true.
But then ultimately you can attract more people.
Yeah.
Once they discover you. Yeah. So that's right. The long game. And that's like trusting that your shit is good.
Yeah.
So like respect to that, you know?
Yeah. And that's how it should be. It shouldn't be like you have to be one thing. I think like this mishmash of things is like, you know, what everyone should. There should be a space for that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm tempted to say that we are worse about it now than we used to be. But actually, I'm sure it's always been hard for artists like experiment, for artists to switch up genres, to try to go in new directions.
So always,
we are very quick to punish.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. And if a certain artist does one thing for a while and then switches, then it's like, oh,
no.
That's the worst. That's the kiss of death.
Yeah. Was singing always a goal for you? Because I know you used to be a dancer, right?
Yeah. When I first moved to New York, believe it or not, I was very shy. Like when I was younger, I always sang and danced.
Uh-huh.
But dancing for me was like a drop of a dime. Like you'd be like dancing, I'm like, I'm ready. I'm like, I'll give it to you. You'd be like singing, I'm like, crickets. It's like I couldn't get my mouth open. And my grandmother was like, to my mom's like, she's never gonna sing in front of people. She's so shy. My grandma's like, she's gonna do it. Like, you know, like she's gonna get out of that shyness one day.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people back home, when they see me now, they're like, their jaws drop. Because like in high school, like everything, like I was just so shy. Like I would
Were
dance
you in choir
in talent shows.
Anything?
Like I wasn't in the choir.
Okay.
Like the very first time I sang was like my senior year, like when people would hear me sing, like I probably sang like in eighth grade, but I was like, like very low. Like it was just like, it was crazy. But when I moved to New York, I used to audition for off-Broadway shows, and I would do good in
as
the
a dancer?
Singing as a singer who danced, because it was like more technical dancing. So when it came to like ballet and jazz, I've never was technically trained,
mm-hmm.
and so I would always just do good in the singing part. But when it came to that, I was just like a mess. And then one day I was like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna put that on hold, and I'm gonna just go strong into the hip hop dancing.
Yeah.
And I was like, because I always wanted to do videos, and that's what I moved to New York for a dance program. But I still sing. So I joined the I started taking classes and stuff, and then I got into an agency and I started booking jobs and doing that.
Uh-huh.
And then one day I was dancing for this artist, and her named Tara, and her manager slash producer whatever told me, he's like, if you want to be a singer, you have to start taking vocal classes. Like, you've already accomplished yourself as a professional dancer. And I was like, you know what? If you feel that way, you know what I'm saying? If you could respect that, I respect that too. I'm like, you just call me a professional dancer, which is true. I'm getting paid to do what I love to do. And so then I put that to the side. and I started taking vocal class. And where I was taking vocal class is where I met DA. He was working there. And then Mikey, he started interning there and eventually started working there. And then I met his twin brother and Axis, the DJ. They all used to be in a band. So that's like how I met everybody. And then like one day they asked me to be in, they started the band like a month before they asked me to be in it. And then I was just like, one day DA heard me rapping. And I was just joking around, doing the Mary J. Blige, like, Met the Man Shorty, you're there for me anytime. And then he was like, let me find out that you can rap. And I was like, I'm not rapping. I'm just saying what Met the Man is saying. And then I've always been like a goon. Like, I've always, like, I used to be a hype girl for this girl, Amanda Seales. Like, I was her hype girl. And so they were like, you want to be in the band? And I'm like, sure, I don't know what I'm going to do, but so I had to kind of like find my role. At the beginning, I called myself the hype girl, and then the Rock Hood rap was initially DA was doing it, and then he was like, we're taking my vocals out and we're going to put your vocals out, yeah. vocals in. So then I started doing the rap and everybody loved it.
Like
and
opened then, up everything.
Yeah, it's like I'm just like a character on stage, and it was just like, it's just fun. It's like I know people say they have the alter egos. I guess you can say it's like my alter ego, but yeah. It was just fun to me, and it was just natural. And so then I just started doing that and eventually found my role in the band and became the second lead singer. I used to always say that I was the hype girl, and they're like, you're not the hype girl. Like, they and made all the songs. Yeah, they made all the, well, the first album, they made all the, like, the majority of the songs were already done before I was in the band. So it was like, let's fit her in there, and it wasn't, like, really written for my range and stuff like that. But the second album was, like, geared to both lead singers.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that you call it an alter ego in a way, and kind of to what we were talking about before we started is there's such a party character to the whole band, to like each of you individual and the band as a whole. And it's funny to hear, you know, you don't really drink, and I'm wondering if as the years go on, if that's shifting at all, and it's such like a sort of identity of the band, if that will, you know, start to change at all.
What change? What?
The party vibe?
The party vibe.
The party vibe is never going to change. Shinobi Ninja, when we come on stage,
well,
it's
there's
a
difference between party and.
No, I know what you mean, but you know, it kind of reminds me of the Funkadelic and how it's like a collective of people having a good time.
Right.
And George Clinton is fucking old now, but he's still emblematic of that feeling.
Right. But I do kind of associate your band with an actual, whereas. And a lot of bands that I think we found to be true, uncharacteristically of rock bands of the of yore,
right?
There isn't this like party in the sense of drinking and drugs right. and rock and roll and on all of that. And I think that your band, in a gleeful way, I find has that element of it. They're like party in yeah. terms of like going hard and having a really good time.
Yeah.
And so like that's what I meant by like, will that shift as things, you know? Do you want to like. Start drinking juices and things like that.
But what do you mean by that? Like, you think it's inferred from the music?
I guess maybe knowing them.
Or you know that the band has a good time.
Yeah. Maybe it's because I partied with you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We still party hard. It's not like we're like, it's not like we've gotten to the point where it's like, after the show, we're like, okay, guys, well, we got to go back to the hotel now. We're tired. Like, it's
right,
like,
right, exactly.
We're ready to still, like, we're still smoking before the show. We're still smoking after the show. We're still telling people, hit it, meet us at the bar. I mean,
that's
I don't
I mean.
Drink, but I'm always like, meet me outside. It's like, people know they when they come to the show,
right,
show,
you're not like, I have to
they're
stop
ready.
Talking now.
They're
have
rolled
to go
up.
To sleep.
They're ready to meet us in the
but
back.
But I'm surprised with how hard you guys work that you can do that.
Yes.
That's very rare. Yeah.
Right. And we were talking about close calls, being on tour and sort of like, needing to smoke all the weed before people were checking your car and all of that. And yet, like, so you're like blazing up on the road and then being so productive and so prolific with your output of stuff. It's
oh,
like,
yeah. We try. People make some other bands make me laugh. We'll be like, yeah, we're going outside to smoke. Do you guys want to come? And they'll be like, nah, not until after the show. And we're like, not until after the show. It's like, it's before the show and after the show. But OK, we'll see you after the show. It's like, no.
Right.
Like,
so the good time
changed.
Is like an is real.
And the theme laughing? Of this podcast is Dara trying to figure out how people are more productive than she is. It's amazing.
It's very real.
No, it's and me. I mean, it's like,
no, but
it's very
it's totally
mystifying.
True. And then you add in like being blazed. It's
right.
Like,
exactly.
Wow. Mind blown.
Yeah.
I wish.
You're like, you do all that and you smoke more weed than me. I don't understand.
Right.
What am I doing wrong?
Right.
Yeah.
So, right. Also, I'm curious, having been part, this is the other theme of this podcast, having been part of a 6-person band, I was one of 3 females. You are the one woman touring, you know, sometimes 200 plus shows a year.
With how many guys?
In a 15-passenger van with five dudes. And they're the dudes, yeah. You know, and you're partying and doing whatever you're doing. How is that for you? And what have you found to be like a way of like maintaining solace and keeping yourself like grounded in any way, if that's a thing?
I mean, sometimes for me, like, my biggest thing is like, our new manager is a guy. Like, whenever we go on the road, like, if we bring a photographer, it's a guy. If we bring one of our friends, it's a guy. It's always a guy. I'm, like, literally always the only girl. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if we go to a show or something, like, we are really big in North Carolina, there'll be, I'm ready to see my girls over there because I'm ready to just, like, get out the van and be like, okay, hey, how you ladies doing? And just hang. I survive. Like, it's funny because somebody, we had an interview the other day, somebody emailed us an interview and they asked a question like that. And I was just like, I consider myself one of the guys.
Right.
It's like, I'm like, I'll let them know. I'll be like, guys, I'm a period. I'm not feeling good today. I'm like, I'm sorry I was a little snippy. I just got a period. Like, everything, yeah. You know, like, we've gotten to that point. Like, it's just like, they're my brothers. It's right. Like, they know everything. It's like, I'm going to tell them everything. And my biggest thing, this is going to sound crazy, but my biggest thing is in the winter. I hate touring with the guys in the winter because they're always hot and I'm always cold. And it's like, I'm like, in the summertime, let's roll down the windows. Let's do it. Like, I'm living. Like, but the wintertime, like, let's roll up the windows. Like, let's not have any AC on. Like, I know we just came off stage. Like, I'm freezing. Like, I hate touring in the winter. Like, I don't like it at all.
Let me tell you something. It's also a summertime problem because in this office during the summer, it is fucking 30 degrees in here because the men come in their shirts and their jackets and they're generally hotter than we are anyway. And the temperature gets adjusted for them. And the women freeze all winter.
See, you feel me.
I feel you.
And that's what, and I'm like, I think it was like one of our very first interviews, somebody asked, and I was like, I'm always cold. And DA was laughing. They all started laughing, like, what kind of answer is that? And I was like, no, guys, it's true. Like, that's the only thing that bothers me about you guys is the cold.
It's real.
But other than that, I'm just like, I'm just used to just always, it's always guys. Like. Yeah.
But how does that play out, like, when you have to interact with people at a venue? I assume that you're not often the first person that people turn to ask a question.
Definitely not. No. It's always them. I tend to stay away from, like, trying to, like, not
so like, are you good
be
with
in
that?
Charge. But, like, I'm good with just, like, being in the back. Like,
okay.
Sometimes people that even know the band and that don't know the band, like, I'm the merch girl. So I'll set up the merch because, like, I'm the girl. So I know how to do it nice and neat and everything. Like, they try, but I'm just like, no. Like, that looks crazy. I'm going to fix it. Like, and the majority of the time, people will always come up to me after the show and be like, I thought you were the merch girl. They're like, I didn't know you were in the band. Now we do, yeah. They're like, I didn't know you were in the band. And I'm like, I know. I just keep it low-key, like, I'm never like, you know, like, I just let them handle everything. Like, they know, like, I don't want to be put in that role. I don't want to be like the mom. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, I do try to tell them, like, don't sleep on the sheets at the hotel because they don't wash them. Like, they don't listen. Like, well, there's like
the
jump in.
Off.
Yeah, right, I'm a comforter. Yeah. I'll take the, now they do that, especially Alex, the bass player. Like, it makes me laugh. Like, because we have certain people, like, we'll share rooms. Uh-huh. It'll be me, DA, and Alex. And DA, and I mean, Alex, they'll come and they'll take the sheets off nice. The bed, like, right away. Like, they know. And I'm like,
these
I tell
are
you
the
guys well.
Expert tricks.
Yeah. I was like, I tell you well. But everything else, it's like, I've got them into, like, we used to do Walmart a lot. Walmart was our place to go. But then one day I've introduced them as we got, you know, and started making a little money and stuff. We got into Whole Foods and Trader Joe's. And so now when we go on the road, it's like they love Whole Foods because they got the hot section.
Nice.
And it will always, you know,
does
Googling.
Have a good hot bar.
Yeah, the Whole Foods. And so I feel like, you know, I'm there to, like.
So you're not a mom. You're not the mother, but you're like slip it in.
Yeah,
here and
I
there.
Slip it in here and there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. What I hate is when I can tell they're waiting for me to become the mother. Mm. Like, I have some guys in this office who are good friends of mine, and I've talked to them about this before. They will fuck around and goof off and escalate their, like, giggling because they know at a certain point I'm going to whip around and be like, knock it off, guys, because people are working, you know? And they'll look at me. Like, they're waiting. It's like they're little schoolboys waiting for teacher to yell at them. And I'm like, do not put me in that position.
I do not want to have to be your mother. Because this is fucked up, and you're doing it because I'm a woman, and you're waiting for like mommy to scold
you.
Same
way, otherwise.
So I think you just gotta call it out. I yell at them. I do exactly what they're expecting me to do, but then I yell at them again for making me yell at them.
Yeah, good. That should shut them up.
Yeah, it works. It's gotten better.
Because if you call them out for being for acting that way, that's more embarrassing. Like, yes, they don't want to be called out for, like, wanting a mom.
Oh, and I mean, this one guy, and it, I hope he listens to this. He's actually a big fan of the show, but I won't say his name. But he was being ridiculous on a set that we were on one day, and I called him out for it, and he said that I was, like, his drunken aunt. And I shut things down.
Good.
I called him out so hard. I was like, don't you fucking dare call me that. And we're on a set right now, and I have a crew that's working here right now. Do not paint me that way. That I like the last thing I want to be is that. You're forcing me to be that. Yeah. It was a moment. It's, but I feel like we grew
it's
after
projection.
It.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good.
Like, I'm not, that's not my job is to teach you how to be an adult.
Right.
You know?
This is true,
like, your mother should have done that. Your real mother.
Or your fucking drunken
or
aunt.
Or you're an adult now, so teach yourself. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. You played the LGBT Expo recently?
Yes, I did. I played it last year, and I played it again this year.
How did that happen?
Okay, so it's funny. When I came out with my solo thing, and I put it out like, oh, I'm going to release some solo music just for fun. It wasn't like, I'm going solo, I'm leaving the band. Right away, this guy I used to dance with hit me up and was like, do you want to perform at the LGBT Expo? And I was like, and DA produces my music, so DA is always like, you got to get the music out there. So I was like, not really. Like, I just literally released the music, and he hit me up that day. Huh. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I have some songs. Like, I had a song that was a hit in Seattle. So I was like, oh, okay, I got some songs from there. Like, I guess I could put something together, get me some dancers, and you know, make it happen. And that's how that came about. And then this year, artist that we met there last year, DA wrote a song with him. And DA's a hustler. So he hit him up and was like, hey, you think you could play guitar at the LGBT Expo this year I'm performing? He's like, yeah, if you can get Baby G in it. And I was like, why are you always involving me in everything? I was like, so then I was like, okay, fine. Here we go. Rehearsal space. Let's
why are you reluctant like that?
I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I was just like, it's not that I don't think that I'm like ready. It's just like, I just wasn't mentally ready. I'm just like releasing music and mm-hmm. I'm not thinking that shows are going to like pop up and like be there to like go and do. But I guess
the things
like,
are still happening. You're sort of still just like, oh, this is happening now. Now this is happening. It's not like you were ahead of the kind of like desire. It was like happening to you're like, oh, now I'm taking singing lessons, now I'm in a band, and now I'm making music, and now I have to perform it. It's sort of coming quicker than you would have imagined. Cool.
Where did the moniker Baby G come from?
Baby G. I had a friend that always used to call, well, an ex-boyfriend that always used to be like, Baby G, Baby G, Baby G, Baby Girl, Baby Girl, Baby Girl. And then the guys always heard that. So they started calling me Baby Girl, Baby Girl, like teasing me. And then when we started making up names for ourselves, Mikey, Kid Shreddy, and that's a guitar player, and Alien Lex, the bass player, Terminator Dave is the drummer, and Duke Sims, because we have two Daves in the band, so the other lead singer changed his name to D.A. Duke Sims. He has I don't know which one he wants to go by.
Yeah. But that's another thing about Shinobi Ninja. It's like, oh, of course you're going to make up names for yourself.
Yeah.
That's like, part of the mythology.
Like, ninja names or something, right? I've never had a nickname growing up. It's always been Adara or Dara for short. My family calls me Dara. And
good name.
They were like, and then Axis, is the DJ, is like, I don't know how I feel. This is true. Sorry. He's like, I don't know how I feel about calling you baby girl because that was Aaliyah's name and I loved Aaliyah. And I was like, well, I love D'Elia too, but I never thought of it about like that. Damn. I was like, I never thought that I was taking Aaliyah's name.
Yeah.
So I dropped the girl. Heavy. I was like, I'm dropping the girl.
Oh, really? Because of that?
I was like, I'm going with Baby G. And I was like, that's it. And like, she was baby girl, I'm baby G.
Yeah.
And that's what we stuck with. And everybody knows me now as Baby
Dara
G.
Baby G.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
No, I love it also because you're like a fucking badass, take no prisoners singer. So it's like this amazing irony.
Right.
Like, I love that. Yeah. Thanks. It's a good juxtaposition.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's next for you guys? What's happening?
Well, for the band, we're getting ready to open up for 311.
Right.
We got some shows with them. We're playing on Halloween. This is exciting. I don't know I'm going to dress up or not, but we're playing on Halloween with them, and I believe the 30th and the 28th. And then we're going to LA in November for networking. We'll be out there from the 9th through the 13th.
Did I see you have a song in a Spike Lee movie coming up?
Yeah, Spike Lee is amazing. Doing a show called She's Gotta Have It for Netflix, like one of those Netflix things.
You have a song in that?
And we have a song in that,
cool.
Yeah.
Cool, amazing.
I heard that when it's going to really be good. Released.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like he had a listening party. And I was like, yeah, all right, Spike Lee's not going to be there. And literally, we walk up the stairs to go into the door. And DA's like, oh, what up, Spike Lee? Like he's known him forever. And I'm like, my jaw just drops like, yo, Spike Lee is here. Like, like he's in the building. Like, this is awesome. Like, he was so down to earth. Like, yeah. We have pictures with him. He was so cool. Like, awesome. We can't wait for that
that's
to
exciting.
Drop, that we can hear where. Because he was telling everybody, like, everybody's song has a specific, like, part of the show.
Oh, I'm
like
sure.
Going
wow, yeah.
To the
I'm
music.
Sure he's very deliberate.
What
about
song
him.
Is it?
Music.
It's our song Genuine, which was actually a song that DA wrote when he was a solo artist before the band. And then when the band came, it was just such a great song. We had to just do it over.
Cool.
So we did it over, and we said, I don't know if he submitted other music or just that song, but we submitted that song. And so when that comes out on Netflix, that's going to be
so
awesome.
You guys, you like made that happen yourselves, mm-hmm. though. That's, mm-hmm. yeah.
The hustle.
Yeah.
Well, keep hustling.
Keep hustling, baby.
Yeah, whatever happens, like if it's the next level, if it's however it goes, you guys just keep being you. I have so much love for Shinobi Ninja. I have so much love for
Thanks.
You guys. Thank you for coming.
Thanks.
This has been amazing. Yeah.
Thanks for having me. This is awesome. I mean, anytime I get to talk about the band is a good thing, especially with all the guys. I love them so much, but when we do interviews, if you see interviews, I'm literally like,
yeah,
I'm no. so quiet. I just let them talk, and like, and they will just answer questions, like take 20 minutes to answer one question, and I'm just like, do you even remember the question she asked? Because you still haven't answered it. Like, so I'm like, interview by myself. I think that I got this.
Hell
because
yeah.
The other guys, they're just like, there'd be too much sometimes.
No, you got it.
So
thank
this is
you.
Awesome.
So
thank
happy
you.
To meet you here.
Great.
You got that?
Yeah. Definitely going to keep that.
She said, so happy to meet you here.
A nice bookend, too. We met 4 years ago.
So happy to meet you.